This is a live impromptu, and it is supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. On this afternoon's live impromptu, our guests are a true ambassador of world music, one of the most accomplished viol players in the world, Jordi Savall, and a man who's been described as the magician of the Bauron, or Celtic drum, Frank McGuire. And they are in Chicago to perform on the University of Chicago Presents series tomorrow night at 7:30 in Mandel Hall, preceded by a 6:30 p.m. lecture with Robert Kendrick. I'll give you more information about how you can get tickets in a moment. And their focus for the performance, and for this impromptu for that matter, popular Irish and Scots folk tunes that have been passed down to us over the centuries. We'll talk about them in a moment, but first, let's hear some music. That was Jordi Savall. And Jordi Savall, welcome to our studios. Thank you so much for being here with us. And Frank, same to you. Jordi, first tell us what we just heard.
I have played a prelude by Monsieur Demachy, who was one of the great composers and players between the time of Monsieur de Sainte-Colombe and Marat Marais. He was a little younger than Marat Marais. This is around 1687.
All right. But your focus really on this trip is mostly Celtic music.
Exactly, yeah.
And we should talk a bit about that and how you came to it. I mean, the range of musics that you perform is vast, especially if one just takes a brief look at that incredible discography on Alia Vox. But Celtic music is a fairly recent interest of yours, and tell me how you got interested in it.
In fact, I was interested already many, many years when I was young, but the interest in the viol is when I discovered, in fact, in several manuscripts, from the 17th century. Music that was from the Celtic traditions, and in these manuscripts was information about how to tune the instrument to play this music. And I have started to play this music. I will play later a piece like this. And then I start to found music was also play on the viol, and this 17th century was the viol one of the most popular instruments in England. But the instrument disappeared at the end of the 18th century. Carl Friedrich Abel was one of the last great viol players. He died in England in 1785, 86. And after this was not more, any more viol players. That means the Celtic tradition was never used the viol in the modern times because it was not played. But in the time of Carolan, the 16th century, 17th century, was also a normal instrument where you can play Celtic music. And my approach is to try to find a way to play this music like I play the music by Bach or Marais or from the time. Because today the Celtic repertoire is played mostly in a very folkloric and a very traditional way, with all the influences that we have become during the centuries. And my approach is a little to go to the sources and try to see how the instrument sounds if we play from the optic from the 17th century, for example. And to play this repertory, I use a travel instrument, original instrument from Nicolas Chaput, a French maker, which is very similar from a fiddle.
Right.
And the way I play also is I use a tuning, which was in the Baroque time, and the natural way to play this repertory. This means it has six strings, like all the viols. And we have the low string, it's the fifth. And the last string, it's a fifth. Then the fourth, it's an octave. Then a fourth, a fifth. A fourth. And then with the stibuldon, you... Of course, the viol has also frets, these divisions, like a guitar, like a harp, like a lute. And this makes a special sound because any string, it's like an opener. Has a resonance. Mm-hmm. Like an open string.
Right. So, Frank, we should bring you into this too, and... your contribution. When did the two of you first meet up?
2010. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in 2010.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jordi essentially came to you because of your well-known expertise on this rather remarkable instrument that you play.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And could you demonstrate it a bit and some of the sounds you can get from it?
Sure. It's just want me to play something?
Sure, just a little example of the variety of sounds.
Short demo.
It's a great demo. And the way you get the different tones is by moving your hand in and out and up and down and changing the tension on the head of the drum.
Yes, in conjunction with the right hand.
Right.
The left hand provides the music, if you like, of the drum.
Right.
You know, depressing the skin.
And did I pronounce it properly?
Yes, there's various ways of pronouncing it, actually.
Really? You know?
But Bowron is
Bowron.
A
okay.
Silent D, the silent H.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What should we hear next?
We will play a little set with a plenty Irwin from Carolan, then Alexander Hallpipes, and a jig, sacred jig.
All right. Jordi Savall and Frank McGuire on Bowron, and music from the Celtic tradition, which is the focus of a concert to take place as part of the University of Chicago Presents series tomorrow night, 7:30 in Mandel Hall, and it will be preceded by a lecture at 6:30 with Professor Robert Kendrick. Tickets are available for that concert by calling 773-702-ARTS, or you could go online to chicagopresents.uchicago.edu. And I have to confess, Jordi, that one of the things I've admired about you so much over the years is the passion you bring to all of your performances. And for you, I think it's much more than just performing on stage. It's really a mission to bring cultures together, to find understanding among peoples. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's been recognized by the United Nations, among others. And could we talk a little bit about what it means to you to be able to bring this music to the public?
Well, I think one of the mistakes that we do normally in the classical world is to make classifications. We classify popular music, traditional music, and then the really classical music. Mm-hmm. And we forgot the music was played in many different circumstances in life. And sometimes we don't take care from music, which has been very important for the human being. And this music is relegated to traditional, to popular things, and never in the classical concerts. What I have done already in the 70s to bring the Sephardic music to the classical halls and to the recordings. We have done the first recording with Christian music from the court, the really great composers, and from the time from Spain, and then also an album with all these anonymous melodies, but beautiful melodies and a very important music for the people. And then they have realized, people, that this anonymous music is also very important. I would say it's so important because any of these simple melodies, these dances, they have been used to survive. Sephardic people, Irish people, when they arrive in America, to work, difficult life, adaptation, melancholy for the sadness for the world they have to be in, for the family. They have played the music, and the music has helped them to survive. The music gives them hope, peace. And this is, I think, what you feel when you play all of these melodies and this music. You feel this fantastic emotion, this fantastic energy who helped the people compose and written to make their life better. And for this, I was starting to feel also practicing and with musicians, music from Arabic traditions, music from Ottoman traditions, music from Armenian traditions, from Greek traditions. And this makes me possible to also to understand that finally we have a real common language with the music, but not only like we did always, they read the music as universal language, and intending the Mozart, it's for the whole universe. No, I don't say in this way. I say we can, with the music, also have a dialogue with traditions, with cultures, with people. They have other religions, like the Muslims, like the Jews, like the Ottomans, like with the music. We have a similar and very similar language. Not today. The music today, I mean the music from the classical world, from the time that we have started with harmonies and counterpoints, we create a different language. But all the period before 1400s, all the medieval time, we have the same language in Europe, in the Occidental countries, as in the Oriental countries. We have a troubadour song. It's a melody with the text, very similar from a Mubashshar, from a song, from a Arabic song, or from Ottoman song, or from a very Oriental song. In this time also, in the 8th century, was the Persian musicians arriving to Occident, to Europe, and bring the instruments, the music, and the way to play this. And I have to say, when I start to play medieval music, my teachers, my really teachers how to play this music, was my friends from Morocco, from Istanbul, from Israel, from Greece. You know, these musicians are playing oud, kanun, santur, ney, etc., kemanche. They play today still in the same style, improvisation, playing melody, creating a world in every time we do a concert, creating a special world, which is the same spirit from 100 and 100 years, the same as a Celtic musician playing the fiddle is playing today probably in the very similar way that has played his grandfather or his parents 100 years ago. And this is, I think, what it's fantastic of all this traditional music. We keep this issue, make the soul of the human being.
Right.
And the character of each nation, each country.
I think when you first approached Celtic music, didn't you say you actually found some similarities to Catalan folk music?
Yes, absolutely. There are many melodies in the Catalan tradition, because probably Catalan is a very old tradition, yeah, coming also in relation with the Occitanie and the time of the Cathars and the time of the Troubadours. And I found many melodies which was using the same also modal modes and very similar expression also.
What are we going to hear next?
Now I would like to play one of my preferred musicians for the viol, Marat Maré. I will play also a piece which is probably composed using a popular song. It's two musettes. Musettes in La, in A, from the fourth book of Pièce de Viol. Thank you.
Music by Marin Marais. We heard two musettes performed by Jordi Savall. Jordi, I wanted to ask you how you came to the gamba. I mean, initially, you were a cellist. In fact, I think before that, you said that you you sang as a young man, and then your voice changed, as everyone's does, and went to the cello. And at some point, though, this other instrument fascinated you.
I have started the cello, in fact, as an autodidact. And I have bought some music in a music shop in Barcelona without any recommendation from the Schott Bibliothek in the German collection. And in these scores was some music by Marin Marais, by Bach, by Ortiz, composed, in fact, for the gamba, but arranged for the cello. And they started to practice this. And the whole 9 years I have studied cello, I have always played music for the viola da gamba. Mm. This was my preferred music, in fact. When I finished my studies, after playing Borgia concerto, Haydn, everything, Brahms music, Beethoven, I was in a summer course, and I had played with a chamber class, a lot of Baroque music, with my cello. And the teacher, Rafael Puyana, harpsichord player, great harpsichord player, at the end of the course, says to me, Jordi, why you play all this gamba music with the cello? Okay, I write in my agenda, look for viola da gamba. And I arrive in Barcelona. It was a call of a music group in Barcelona, an amateur music group called Ars Musicae. I called them, and the director would say, Jordi, are you Jordi Savall? Are you interested to play the viola da gamba? My book and my agenda was written, look for viola da gamba. Yeah. And they tell me, we have a viola da gamba for you. They was planned to do a recording with Victoria de Los Angeles, the great soprano, with Renaissance music. Mm-hmm. And they need a professional viola player. And then I start to play the viola da gamba like this.
Yeah.
And this I was in love. And then some years later, I dedicated my life to the viola da gamba, and I stopped to play cello. Yeah.
And it really determined the path of your life, and what a great life it's been. I mean, through that choice, essentially, you were able to meet your remarkable wife, Montserrat.
Exactly. It was, in fact, Montserrat Figueras was responsible for this call, because she was singing in the group of early music.
Yeah.
And when the director says, we need a professional instrumentalist, Montserrat says, I know, because he was studying conservatory, also cello. And she says, I know a young, good cellist who plays very well, very nice Bach. Maybe he's interested. Uh-huh. And by this, we have the connection. Then we have worked together in this ensemble for a long time. Well, some, and then we been in love, and then we married 2 years later.
Yeah.
And then we go to Switzerland, where I go study in the Scuola Cantorum Brasiliensis, and then we finish my diploma, and then several years later, in 1973, I become the class of my teacher. Mm-hmm. I win the concours for this, and I start to teaching in Basel, and then we founded the Spelion 20, this time, Esperion 20, with American very great lute player, Hopkinson Smith. And then Argentinian flute and percussion player, Lorenzo Harpert, Montserrat, and me.
Right.
And this was the beginning of everything.
yeah. And of course, the most recent group, I guess, is the Concert des Nations.
Yeah, the second group that we built in 1987 was La Capella Real.
Right.
The Catalonia.
The choral group, yeah.
A choral group. And then 1989, Le Concert des Nations, the instrumental group, in order to play also the Baroque orchestral music.
Right. And it is, in fact, an international ensemble.
Absolutely. Yeah. The first violin is Argentinian, the second violin is Italian, the first cello is from from Hungary. the flute is from France. But it's the whole world is there. Always nice musicians and nice persons.
And this is, of course, absolutely consistent with what you're all about.
Absolutely. I think you can only make nice music together with our musicians if you feel well with these musicians.
Yeah.
It's something essential. All my life I have used this. Sometimes I meet very great virtuoso musicians, right, but not so close as persons, and it's impossible to do music if you are not feeling the same emotions, the same respect, and the same quality.
Yeah. Well, long may it continue, sir. We love it. And what are you going to conclude with this afternoon? What music?
Well, we were thinking to do a small group with also Celtic music. We will do the Rocky Road to Dublin, followed by the Kit on the Mountain, and Morrison Jig.
All right.
Thank you.
That music brings us to the end of this impromptu with Jordi Savall and Frank McGuire. And their Chicago concert here will take place tomorrow night, 7:30 in Mandel Hall, as part of the UChicago Presents concert series. Just before it, 6:30, there'll be a lecture on the subject of Celtic music by Professor Robert Kendrick. Tickets can be gotten by phoning 773-702-ARTS or by going online to chicagopresents.uchicago.edu. And there's also a workshop tonight with Jordi Savall and members of the U of C Early Music Ensemble, and that is at 7 o'clock in Fulton Hall. It is free and it is open to the public. I'd like to thank these wonderful artists for being with us this afternoon, and I'd also like to thank our music producer, Mary Mazurek, who was assisted today by Taylor Wiles. Thanks also to the producer of Impromptu, Louise Frank. These broadcasts are made possible by a generous contribution from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And if you enjoyed this live performance, please consider becoming a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station. It's quick, it's easy, you could do it right now. Become a sustaining member by pledging online at WFMT.com. I'm Kerry Frumkin. Back to you, Candace.